Johnson. Thank you guys so much for being here. This in the atmosphere. I guess you can tell, just commemorating the moment with my little Easter jacket on today. And it's February. Amen. Picked this up from a store called My Brother-in-Law's Closet. Amen. Everything is free here. I love it. I love it. Just want to, if you need an outline, you can raise your hand. Ushers will be happy to assist you. And you can also follow along on our CLC South Bend app. But as I was mentioning before, I do just feel a sense of newness in the air. And I'm not sure what I want to say about it, but I guess I just want everybody to grab it, not miss it, not resist it, not ignore it, not buck against it, but what God's doing new, let him do it. You know, it's going to be good. And it might be uncomfortable because I believe we're not coming into it. I believe we're walking in it now. I believe it has come. There's a change that has come. And I just want to encourage the people of God to walk in it. And don't be afraid that if you find yourself doing things a very new way and thinking, oh boy, well, that's not the way I used to do it. That's not the way it used to go. Be okay with it. God's doing something new in us. He's doing something new around us, and it's good. Amen. And it's going to be fantastic. Amen. Just give somebody a high five next to you, just because I don't know what else to say right there in that moment. Yeah. I will say that I was delightfully stunned as to how impactful these last two messages were. We got so much feedback from various people, and it wasn't just light feedback. Like, good message, Pastor. I appreciate that, man. I'm going to see what I can do with that, you know, this week. You know, it was really, people were really moved, and we did that by way of video from Pastor Bill Johnson, and he talked a lot about, respectively, bitterness and jealousy, and it really did go along with ours present series, which is called Arise and Shine, because there's something about bitterness and jealousy that really become a hindrance to us arising and shining. And when we've been talking about arise and shine over these last few weeks, it's basically meant that God is ready to do something. He's the button go has been pressed, and it's up to us to arise to the place that we have to be and to shine the way that he desires for us to shine in this world, because there is a world that is in darkness right now that is desirous to come out, but they just don't know how. And there's a light that has to shine through us that directs them to the light of Jesus Christ that actually saves them from that darkness. So I want to just go through one more video, because all of this was, I don't know if you caught the first week that we showed the Bill Johnson video, but I probably don't even need to show it, but I want to show it anyway, because he references a scripture that I want to take you through a little bit. And so why not just be quiet and direct your attention to the screen. Amen. Can we go ahead and show that, please? All right.
Person.
Okay, hold on, stop. All right, just push the clip again, and it'll go right to the beginning.
My favorite virtue is thankfulness. Thankfulness has, goodness, it's almost like it insulates a person from things that would normally contaminate or cause a person to stumble or hurt or whatever it might be. It doesn't mean it keeps us from pain. It just keeps us in a place where we're healthy. It's thankfulness is so bizarre that you can eat early New Testament context, being invited by a neighbor, then offered their food to demons, a meal that could possibly hurt you. If you're invited to that meal, it's actually possible for that meal to be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And in the context, the prayer was the prayer of thankfulness. Thanksgiving actually decontaminates that which was set against you.
Amen. And I wanted to show that again for you, just so you could really capture, because it really has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about today. And I've called this message the antidote, because over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about bitterness and jealousy. And every now and then he would throw in things like unforgiveness and resentment and those types of things that are in that family of negativity. There are certain things that kind of just run together. And so we're talking today about the antidote, but there's a lot of things, but there's a couple of things that he just shared. Number one is that Thanksgiving, while it may be an antidote for bitterness and resentment and jealousy, it may be an antidote to keep, and that's setting into our hearts, it doesn't protect us from pain. And that's important for us to understand. And we're talking today about Thanksgiving and praise being the antidote that helps to keep bitterness and jealousy and those types of things from really resting and taking root in our hearts and keeping our hearts pointed towards God. And so what I want to do is just read through the scripture that he referenced just a second ago about how Thanksgiving not only insulates us from some things, but actually sanctifies some things so that are set against us so that they don't do us harm. And it's found in 1 Timothy. This is one of the scriptures anyway. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read through the first 5 verses, and we'll talk about this throughout the message a little bit. Okay, and it says, now the Spirit expressly, or very directly and clearly, with no, you know, bones about it, so to speak, you know, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, I don't think that's just the last days, but in latter times, Paul was saying here, in latter times, times to come, when I'm dead and gone, Paul is saying, it's like there'll probably be people who will mess things up, and I want to warn you against that. Okay, so in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Okay, giving heed. Now, understand, while this might not necessarily be referencing the last days, I do believe it applies. Okay, he may be talking about days in the future of the body of Christ. He's in first century Christianity here, writing to Timothy. But I do think that what he's writing, while he may be applying to, you know, maybe 10 years down the road, it's also 2,000 years down the road to where we are. Okay? So some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and this is the part where Pastor Bill comes in, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. And then verse 5 says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's why you see people praying over their food, saying grace so that it is sanctified. We don't know where this cow's been. Okay, you know, whatever, you know. So we pray over, we sanctify it, and God blesses it. We just give thanks to the Lord for it. A few weeks ago, I had referred to Thanksgiving having a regenerative effect, and what I meant by that is that when we give thanks to God, especially in hard times. In times of loss and in times of hurt and in times of struggle, when we give thanks to God, it regenerates something. And regeneration is just the growing back. And I explained to you, like a lizard, when it gets its tail cut off, it starts to grow back eventually. That's regeneration. There's some things that in our lives feel like it's getting cut off. But there's something about the power of giving thanks to God that regenerates what's been lost and regenerates what has been stolen or where we're struggling or where we're hurting. So today, we're going to follow up with this teaching on bitterness and jealousy. And we want to talk about this antidote of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. It is very natural for us to praise God and to give thanks to the Lord when things are going good. Anybody agree with that? It's very easy. But it's actually, just as Pastor Bill described, it's actually more needful for us to give thanks and praise to God when things are going bad. We actually need it more than prevent that. Giving thanks and praise to God really does serve as an antidote to prevent things like bitterness and jealousy and resentment from lodging into our hearts. It doesn't, like I said before, it doesn't shield us from pain, okay? But it does help us to keep ourselves on the right side of God when difficult times do come. And so this is very important for us to understand when we live in a societal culture that is rapidly infiltrating and becoming a part of our church culture that seems to thrive on unfiltered and uninhibited emotional expression, emotional focus. And that's not to say that believers in Christ should not have emotional expressions, but they can become a detriment to our relationship with God and with others if those negative emotions are left to fester into our heart, in our hearts. Okay? So it's important to deal with those negative emotions as they come, so that they don't become, so that they don't take root in our hearts. Amen. All right. And so again, thanksgiving and praise does not keep us guiding our negative emotions, but they can help. It can help a great deal in guiding our emotions into a healthy place, so that our hearts don't become contaminated with bitterness, jealousy, and resentment. Okay. So let's dive in today to this message. I want to go ahead and just start with the first point. And so when disappointments happen and we find ourselves combating those negative emotions that come with our disappointments, things like bitterness and jealousy and resentment, one of the first things that we have to do, and very simple, is really within the title of the message. And the first point is simply to give thanks and praise to God. I recognize that this is not an easy thing when difficulties happen. Especially when we're suffering through times of loss. And I don't just mean loss of a friend or loss of a loved one, but, you know, even a loss of a job or loss of money or loss of opportunity or something like that. It's hard to look that loss in the face and say, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's just difficult to do that. But at some point, it's important that as we come into the presence of God, and I want to go ahead and read this scripture for you from Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So there's an entryway that we, when we come into the presence of God, and I know that I have a tendency towards this, and I'm thankful for it, I'm not trying to brag on it, it's just somehow, whenever I'm really getting ready to go into a place of prayer and I start into my prayer, I cannot help but say things like, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. And it's like, that's not even what I'm praying about. But for some reason, I can't get my mind out of that place. And it's a good habit, obviously, because we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so as we're coming into the presence of God, the entry points into his presence become, thanksgiving becomes necessary for that. Okay? So let's enter his gates with thanksgiving. Things are hard. I'm getting ready to pray over some things that I'm suffering and struggling through, some places of grief, some places of loss, some places maybe even of anger, maybe sadness and so forth. Nevertheless, what comes out of my mouth first before I enter into this reverent presence of God is, Lord, thank you. Not so much thank you that all of this is going on, but thank you that I get this moment to get with you while this is going on. Because I didn't have to be granted this. I didn't have to be granted this audience with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. So, Lord, thank you for this moment, you know, if nothing else. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to put a reason behind it. Lord, just thank you for whatever. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. My heart's just grateful. The things to be thankful for will come. Lord, you are good. Now, your mind might be thinking, well, God's so good. Why is all this happening? And we can really easily get stuck in that place. But I'm thankful for, I don't know how it's happened, but it's like when I would, when on Monday mornings, when I come into the building, I'm usually here. The lights are usually still off. A little bit of sunlight comes in just to, so I don't trip over anything. And I'm usually right here praying. I usually have our list of people just right here laid out so that I can bring the congregation before the Lord to say, God, here are your people. Bless them in a way, in every way that they need. You see their needs. I may not be able to see every person's need, but you know their names. You know their needs. Here they are, Lord. Bless them the way they need to be blessed. And so at some point, once I get down on my knees, bow my face to this floor, the first thing that comes out is, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so good. And you're good because you're good. You're not good because you did something good for me. You're good because you're good. And at some point, I got to get up. It's like, oh, man, you're so good. And I just start walking around in the dark, weaving through the seats and praying and so forth and just letting God speak. But that's a good thing to have in us, because in our beginning entry point places when we're coming into the presence of God, it's good. It's an instruction for us to give thanks to God as we enter the gates and then enter into the courts with praise. Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, 16 through 18 rather, says, rejoice always. Every situation you enter into may not make you feel like rejoicing, but through the word of God, you have that right. You have, and it does opportunity. If you desire to give thanks and rejoice in the Lord, you can do that. And it doesn't matter what's going on your job. It doesn't matter what's going on in your home. Doesn't matter what's going on in your body. You still have a right, according to this word, to rejoice. If you so desire, pray without ceasing. You can do that too if you want to. But then he says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. My wife and I were having a conversation with he who shall remain nameless, because I'm not going to put him on blast. But somebody way out there, you don't even know. They're not in this building. They're not even in this city. So you don't have to worry about it. It's not you. But we were talking about giving thanks in hard times, and my wife was referencing what God had been speaking to her over the last, I don't know, maybe month or two. That there are situations that have hit our life, her life personally, that have been hurtful, but they've worked something in her or in us or in our family or in our church that was very good and very fruitful. And before the fruit comes forth, God will usually say something like, thank me for this. Now, thank me for this. Because this is working something in you, and your antidote from bitterness will be you thanking me for this thing, this hardship that's coming to change you, even though you don't realize it yet. You think it's coming to destroy you. It's getting under your skin. It's starting to aggravate you. But I'm telling you, the Lord says, thank me for this. And we had that conversation with XYZ person, and they said, well, I can give thanks in. I don't know if I can give thanks for. And some of us may be in that place. And this word specifically, and I hope whoever I'm talking about is not listening to this over the internet. But it says here, it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It just says in everything give thanks. But I believe that God is challenging us to say, listen, even though it's hard and it's hurting and it's painful, give me thanks for it too. Because it's going to work together for your good if you'll let it. If you can believe it, it's going to work together for your good. So give me thanks for it as well. Amen. Hard thing to do, isn't it? Lord, I give you thanks for this hardship. I don't know if I can do that. But do it anyway. Amen. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for us. Amen. Now let me go back to this scripture from 1 Timothy. And let me just unleash some things and as God leads us. It says, now the Spirit expressly, clearly says that in latter times, after Paul's gone, a century after Paul's gone, a millennium after Paul's gone, a couple of millennia after Paul is gone, and long after we're dead and gone, there are going to be people who depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. So there are deceiving spirits, spirits that are lying to us. Spirits. Now, how are these spirits lying to us as it pertains to what we're talking about? The number one thing is God ain't really that good. That's the number one deception that these deceiving spirits have assaulted the body of Christ with, particularly in this day and age. He says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, systems of thought, systems of belief that get perpetuated every time you turn your computer on and you log on to this thing. I don't want to get in trouble with you know, people, but you send this post and you share and like this information and you follow this. And oftentimes they sound good. And the problem is they're not necessarily rooted in real truth. And they get passed along from one computer to the next. And all of a sudden you got a system of thought that says this thing must be true. And when you really back up And you measure the word of what that says, or you take the word of God and you measure it along with what that's saying, it's like, no, that's not quite it. That's not quite truth. It sounds good, but it's not quite true. I'm not saying everything. I'm just saying we have to be very careful because there are deceiving spirits. So how do I understand which one is which? Well, 1 John tells us to try the spirits to see if they are of God. If they are not of God, I probably don't need to be ingesting that. It's cute. It's funny. Get a little chuckle. I need to move on. I don't need to let that lodge in my heart if it's not God's truth. Amen. That's the move on vibe I'm getting right there. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. And nothing is to be refused. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, he's talking about food. But I'm talking about life. Life. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So an attack has come your way. Lord, I can give you thanks for that attack because it's getting ready to work something in me. Something went a different way than what I planned. Nothing is to be refused. But you know what? Lord, I'm going to thank you because if I can thank you for this, it can be sanctified by the word of God and prayer so that that which has come to destroy me is actually going to turn around and bless me. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So I don't have to worry a whole lot about what's launched against me. Why? Because no weapon formed against me is going to prosper anyway. So I don't have to get myself up in arms about what's coming against me. I'll just give thanks for it, pray for it, and let it be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I don't have to stop somebody from talking about me. I don't have to stop anybody from using, I ain't gonna say my name in vain, but I don't have to stop anybody from their criticism or accusation against me. I don't have to stop that. I can just sanctify that by the word of God and prayer. If I know it's not true, I can sanctify that by the word of God and prayer. Lord, thank you. I bless them. I thank you because it might be some truth in there. So they might be helping me out. They probably did it in a wrong way, but it's okay. It's really okay. I'm going to bless them. I'm not going to get myself up in arms about it. I'm just going to say, God bless you. I take that, you know, with a grain of salt, and I'm going to go on my way. I don't need to refuse it. I don't need to refute it. I'm just going to receive it with thanksgiving and let it be sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Amen. So it says, some are going to depart from the faith in verse 1. They're going to depart from the faith. Now, I got to kind of shift things here a little bit. There, people will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. The number one deception that these deceiving spirits want us to believe is that God is not good, or that God is not good enough. So there's a deception that spreads in various forms, whether it's through what you see on the internet, whether it's through what you see on television, whether it's through what you see in the news, whether it's something that somebody's talking to you about in your various circles, whatever the case may be, there are spirits that try to influence us to believe that God is not good. Spirits that try to influence us to believe that we're wasting our time with faith in God. And some will give heed to that. Matthew 20. And because they give heed to that, in Matthew 24 and 10, Jesus says, during the last times, many will be offended. Now, what are people getting offended about? A whole lot of things, but here's one in particular. There's an expectation that they have from God that's not getting met the way that they think it ought to get met. So a deceiving spirit comes in and says, see, I told you God wasn't so good. And if we don't turn around and take some antidote and lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, and get our hearts pointed heavenward, what will end up happening is the disappointment from the failed expectation comes in, and now I'm offended, not with people so much, but I'm offended with what God either has or has not done for my life, especially when I look over to my left and see, well, God, you're doing it for them. Why aren't you doing it for me? You're doing it for them. You did it for them. You did it for them. Well, why? Where's mine? When is it my turn? I've been struggling with this for 100 years. So many get offended, and because God's not moving the way we think he ought to move, and he's not doing what we think he ought to do, or protecting us from what we ought to be protected from, now we're growing bitter, and we have no antidote of thanks and praise to give that keeps that bitterness, that resentment from settling into our heart and taking root, and therefore defiling many. And people in that state end up departing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, systems of thought that get passed around from one person to the next, from one network of computers to the next, from one tablet, from one cell phone to the next. Because something spoke to my bitterness as if it understood what I was going through. And I said, like, I clicked, share. And now I've got bitterness spreading all throughout. And I've taken no time to measure. That appealed to my emotion. That appealed to where I've been bitter and angry. And it sounds so, as Bill Johnson would say, reasonable. That it sounds like wisdom. And as Bill Johnson would say, it is wisdom. It's just not godly wisdom. It's a carnal, fleshly, demonic wisdom that does not let you put your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. It fights you on that. And there are demons who are setting up systems of thought to make you resist giving thanks and praise to the Lord. I gotta keep moving, Doug. So thanksgiving and praise helps to redirect our focus beyond our heartbreaks to that which is heavenward, and it regenerates our trust in God so that we can again hope in what we believe about God and his word. Let me take you to James 3. We talked about bitterness. We talked about jealousy the last 2 weeks. James 3 verse 14 says this, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, please do me this one favor. Do not cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Be honest about it. It sounds so much like wisdom and discernment that it feels like truth to you. It sounds so much like reality. That it feels like it's right. It feels like it's good. And if you are in that place, please, the word of God is saying here, please do not lie to yourself about it. Don't try to cover that up. Bring that all the way out. Because bitterness is anger at a slow boil. Don't cover that up, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, they're unspiritual, and demonic. Thanksgiving and praise helps us to turn the corner from that place of the earthly, demonic, unspiritual kind of wisdom. Thanksgiving and praise helps to shift our focus heavenward so that we can receive verse 17. Listen to what verse 17 says. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, full of mercy and good fruits, and fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Thanksgiving and praise to God contain within it humility. When humility is in our hearts and it is expressed through thanksgiving and praise, what do we say about humility? When God gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 11 and 2 says that with the humble is wisdom. So then, when we feel this negative place, this negative wisdom coming over us because of some disappointment, some heartbreak, or some loss, or some grievance, or whatever the case may be, when we feel that coming on, thanksgiving and praise allows humility to go upward so that grace of God, which is an empowerment from the Lord, comes downward. And where there is humility, there is also godly wisdom. So that when thanksgiving, when we force our way past our hardships. See, that's the thing. When we think of thanksgiving, we think thanksgiving and, you know, it's all soft and just, no, you got to force your way to say thank you. You got to force your way to give praise to God. You can't just be. You might have to throw something. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are good. I hate what's happening right now. I hate what's happening in my family right now. I hate what's going on in my job. But God, thank you for the job. Thank you for my family. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. You don't ease your way into things here. You don't ease on down the road. Because if you're going to give thanks and praise to God, usually the road you got to travel is crooked. It's got all kinds of crazy stuff on it. Trying to kill you. Trying to take you out. Got all kind of ups and downs. All kind of potholes and dips. And you got to force your way into it. How does that scripture go? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, not by ease. You got to press your way. No, enemy, you're not going to have, no, bitterness is not coming here. I know God is good. And I know what happened don't seem good. But I know God is still good. Now, when it comes to giving thanks and praise to God, again, I recognize this is difficult. What we might have to do is follow point two before we can get there. So we're kind of working our way backwards with this. What we might have to do first is point two, which is remember that it all belongs to God. And I mean it all. We are stewards, not owners. Genesis 1:26 says this. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, remember what mankind did to earn this, right? You know, nobody read Genesis 1? Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all of that good stuff. And then there's that part where mankind did all these super fantastic things. So, oh, I see. Okay. Somebody trying the spirit. No, that's not quite how it happened. Mankind did nothing to earn this. But God graciously gave it to us anyway. Psalms 8, verse 3 says, David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you should visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Verse 3, now you remember, crowned him with glory and honor. Now this is starting at verse 3. Now you remember in verse 1 and 2 what man did to earn this, right? Nothing. But you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand, and you have put all things under his feet, all the sheep, oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. That means the earth, the stuff that the earth produce, and the people on the earth. That's everything. That's the air too. Amen. It's your breath in our lungs. So that's everything, saved and unsaved. That's everybody, okay? That's everything, the gold, the silver, all of it. Genesis 14:22, Abram fights a battle with the king of Sodom to rescue Lot and his family. And Sodom offers, the king of Sodom offers Abraham money. And Abraham says this, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, I'm not going to get to all of what else he said, but I just want you to catch that place right there. The possessor of heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18, Jesus has died. Now he's risen again. And Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Philippians 2:13, we can keep going. We can keep going. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know some more? Colossians, I'm sorry I'm messing with you here. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Have to remember that. If you're living in the Western part of the world, a lot of times that's difficult to remember. It's particularly difficult in our nation because we think we got a right to everything. I had some teeth in there. Let me back up some. Get back up here and start over. Because I love my nation, my country. God bless our president, our Congress, and all those. Bless them now. I said bless them now. Amen. We pray for kings. We pray for all in authority. We need peaceable lives. Amen. So we have to remember that it all belongs to God. We are stewards, not owners. When we leave this earth, the earth stays here. It goes to somebody else, probably somebody you ain't even like. It might even go to that government you ain't praying for. Hallelujah. But that we have to remember that. We have to be mindful of that. It's hard to be mindful of that because we are a very possessive people. And it really doesn't have anything to do with our nation. It's just our human flesh. Whether you're in America, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Europe somewhere or Africa, it doesn't matter. There's a possessiveness that human beings have. There's a possessiveness that we have that makes things feel like they are ours. And while we have rightful stewardship over them, we have to have a spiritual mentality that says, I don't really own this. So God, you have the liberty, Lord, to tell me how to use this, to tell me how to disperse this. That if I lose it, I don't have to be angry with you because it's yours anyway. And if you love me and I love you, I know that somehow, some way, you're going to give me what I need that is still yours, but still you would actually give me to steward over. Great testimony, by the way. How or an apartment building catching on fire. I was impressed with your response to that. Because as calmly and as joyfully as you gave that testimony, you were just as calm and joyful that your son was with you, escaped from that fire, and you didn't appear to be rattled at all. Now, if you cried in your room somewhere, then that's one thing. But all we saw of you was joy and trust in God. And I have so much appreciation. I mean, while the fire trucks are blaring, and lights are flashing, and she's just says, you know what, stuff can be replaced. I've heard people say that when it's not happening. I've never seen anybody say that while the lights were flashing. Powerful. That's powerful. What God is doing in you through that is amazing. And all the stuff, just like you said, can be replaced. So remember that it's God's stuff. But here's what we have to do more so than anything, I believe, is point number three, recognize God's goodness. When we're combating all of these negative emotions, trying to lodge themselves in our heart, trying to turn our hearts from God, trying to make us walk away from our faith in God, we give thanks and praise to God. And I know it's hard to do, but at some point we've got to recognize God's goodness. Now, let me drop down a few scriptures when it comes to when we're looking at Colossians chapter 1. Or did I? Yeah, I read Colossians 1:16. But in verse 21, it says this. It says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now, I don't know if you heard what that just said in relation to all the other scriptures that we just read. What this said is God, creator of all things, who made heaven and earth and all of us who dwell in it, God gave us paradise in the Garden of Eden. We turned around, rebelled against God, and messed it all up. God, in his infinite love for us, left the confines of heaven, the comfort and magnificence and majesty of heaven, to become wrapped up in human flesh to dwell among the mess that we created. And if that wasn't good enough, he died. He died not to show off. He died and suffered a criminal's death. Why? So that you and I can have back the paradise that we lost and never deserved in the first place. That's what that said. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, if it's not too much for you to handle that Jesus came, died, and gave you everything you didn't deserve, forgave you of your sins, gave you access to the throne of God, if that's not enough, if you can hang in there long enough, I have too much fun with you all. But that's what he's saying. If indeed you continue, if you can continue in the faith. I mean, that sounds comical to me. If you can just hang in there with us till we get to your Cadillac. I know the death of the Savior might not be enough for you. We can just hang in there. All right, I'm through. Somebody like, I get it, man. Come on, move on. Grounded and steadfast, and you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. Psalms 100, we read verse 4. Here's what verse 5 says. For the Lord is good. Amen. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen. I want to close with this. If you are... If you are upstairs and you are working the PowerPoint, I need you to scroll all the way to the end. Just go all the way to the end and see where you can find James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Talking about thanksgiving and praise being the antidote for bitterness and jealousy and resentment and anger and unforgiveness and wrath and malice and strife and all such things. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Amen. Don't we always do that? We count it. Oh, just thank you, Jesus. I'm so full of joy. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Two definitions I want to just throw at you here. It says in verse 2, verse 3. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The footnote word for that is perseverance or endurance. That means I'm able to persist in doing something no matter how difficult it is or no matter how long it's taking for things to get right. I'm persevering. I'm pressing on. I'm not giving up. I'm forging ahead. The testing of my faith produces such intestinal fortitude that nothing stops me from keeping going. Okay, neither rain nor sleet nor snow, okay? Nothing stops me from going forward. But then it says, let patience, now that's just regular old patience. As Joyce Meyer would define it, the ability to wait with joy. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. That word perfect is the word mature. It's not, you know, hey, I'm absolutely nothing's wrong with me perfect. It's just I'm growing and developing in something where I'm becoming fruitful in a godly way. That you may be perfect or mature, complete, lacking nothing. Now listen to what verse 5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, hold on, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach, and he'll give it to him. So God will give you wisdom if you ask for it. If it's lacking, God will give you what you are lacking if you ask for it. But how does God seem to handle the lack in our lives? You got to go back to verse 2. That there are certain trials that will come that will test our faith and produce patience or perseverance, so that patience can have its perfect work and then make us complete and lacking nothing of what we just asked for. What I'm telling you is, when you ask God for something, there may be a process to go through to get it. That process may include the trying of your faith, the falling into certain trials, the letting of patience have its perfect work in you, so that once that's done, you are complete and entire and lacking nothing. So that when I ask God for something, God says, yes. Anybody know what this is? A banker's box, yes. I like banker's boxes because they are easy to construct, especially if you got a preaching illustration to go through. So this box is Doug. And here comes Doug waltzing to the throne of God, asking God for what he wants. And God says, yes, Doug, I'm going to give you that right away. Let me work on that. So what God ends up doing is not putting something in my hand. He starts working on me and getting me ready to receive what I've just asked for. Because in this position, I'm not ready to receive anything. So when I come to God and say, God, give me, God says, okay. Come, hold still, Doug. Stop running away. And if I'm not careful to make it through this process, what ends up happening is I end up bitter. I end up resentful. God, why haven't you given it to me yet? You won't stand still long enough to let me get you in position to put it in your hands. Well, God, when is this going to be over? When you sit still enough to let me get finished. Because like this, you're not ready. I've said yes to your desire. I promise you I'm going to do it. What will happen is I end up becoming bitter at God. Well, God, you gave it to them. I'm trying to give it to you. Well, why they get it? Because they stood still. Well, I didn't see that happen. You ain't with them 24 hours a day. They 45 years old. You just met them last week. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their life story. You know some glazed over details. You can't handle the truth. You couldn't even be their friend if you knew all of what they've been through. So I'm still not quite ready. Almost, I look ready on the outside, but something on the inside ain't quite ready yet. Yeah, thank you. Breakthrough's coming. If I can just let God finish the work in me so that he that began a good work would be faithful to complete it. Now I can give you what you asked for, because now you're ready to receive it. It took a good 15 years, and you almost gave up at 14 and 6 months. But there's a process. Let me really close with this. I want to speak some hope to you. If you're going through a difficult situation that feels like it is crushing you to smithereens, the Bible says that they that fall on the word will be broken. In Jeremiah 18, God takes Jeremiah to the potter's house and says, and shows him the potter making a vessel. But it's got a flaw in it. So he breaks the vessel and redoes the vessel and makes a brand new vessel. And God says to Jeremiah, can I not do with Israel what this potter just did with this clay? Broken pieces can be put back together. But the Bible then says, those who the word falls upon will be ground into powder. And I used to think hopelessness with that until I heard an interview, and I'll probably talk about it a little bit next week. I heard an interview with the woman named Lisa Turkhurst. You get some of you familiar with that in the Turkhurst. Yeah. Familiar with that name, author, speaker, and just a fantastic testimony. But in her interview, she talked about how When God made man, he took the dust of the ground. And there might be some people here today that feel like they have been ground into powder because something has fallen on them and your life feels like it's ground to dust. I just want to encourage you right now that in the beginning stages of the creation of mankind, God used such dust, formed man into his own image, and breathed the breath of life into him. And if you are feeling crushed right now by your situation, I just want to encourage you that God is able to take your ground up life, forge it into what he desires it to be, and is able to breathe the breath of life into you. He is able to breathe the breath of life into you. Amen. We want to just share this song once more. Because when it comes to understanding that we are children of God, there is a place of obedience that we have to come to. When God is calling us into higher places, when He's calling us into higher places, He usually has to tear something else off. He usually has to prune. John 15 talks about the vine. He usually has to prune that vine. That means taking away some pieces so that more fruitfulness can occur. So don't be discouraged if it looks like God is taking away from you. Can take the antidote. Encourage you. Take the antidote. Take the antidote. Super close with this. Really seal this thing shut and lock it and so forth. I just remember, it's just a scene from a movie that came back to me. I remember watching Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Yeah, that's the way you close a message. And in this, in the opening scene, he's at this club, this nightclub or whatever, and he's making a deal with some guy who's the bad guy, okay? And the bad guy has poisoned his drink. And like every bad guy, they foolishly bring the antidote with them for some. He's like, look, just pour the poison in and kill him. They got to bring the antidote with you. But that's the way movies go. So he has the antidote. And of course, you know, a fight ensues and, you know, Indiana Jones takes this drink and all of a sudden realizes he's been poisoned. And here this guy is laughing at him. He's got the antidote. What would cure him from the disease of this poison? I'm telling you, you already have the antidote that will cure you from the bitterness, that will keep you from the resentment, even the jealousy and the anger that the enemy is trying to poison you with. It won't protect you necessarily from going through hard things, but it'll help you to keep bitterness out of your heart so that your heart can stay in a heaven place. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing that one more time. Afraid to trust God. I'm his child. God may not protect my life from pain coming, but he will be a healer. He may not protect me from losing a job, but he will be a provider. And as his child, he cares well for me. Let me just say on behalf of God, if I can be this bold. If I can just say on behalf of God, I'm sorry for the way people have decided to treat you. I'm sorry for all the open doors that mankind's decisions have left open for the enemy to come in and influence so many people to treat us with evil intent. On behalf of God, I want to just apologize to you. Understand that it's not God's fault. Excuse me. It's not God's fault. God gave us what he gave us, and we've made of it what we've made of it. He came down to do what he could to fix it. And now it's up to us to choose that. He sent Jesus Christ to redeem us from a world that we tore apart. So we don't have to keep, you know, we don't have to keep tormenting ourselves with questions of, you know, why would God allow? God gave this world to us. We are the ones who allow. God gave dominion to us. We are the ones who've allowed. It all belongs to him. He's given us a stewardship. And if we don't care for it well and each other well, then you get the results that you get. So once again, if there's pain, God is a healer. Thanksgiving and praise can be a very useful antidote to keep bitterness and anger and jealousy from settling into your heart. Keep your thoughts upward. Keep your thoughts heavenward. Keep your hearts and your minds pointed towards him. Let your affections be set on things above and not on what's going on with this world. Let me ask our prayer team to come. And whether you need prayer from one of our prayer team members, or if you just need time in the altar, you're welcome to either. Amen. Maybe you just need time in your seat. It doesn't matter to me. My only concern is that you hear the voice of the Lord and you respond. And that you say yes to him. And maybe you're here today and you've never even given your life to Jesus Christ. We'd love to pray for you to do that today. Jesus Christ gave his life so that you can have eternal life with him in heaven after this life. But you don't have to wait to enjoy what God has for you when you die. There's a lot to be enjoyed on this side of heaven. And you can have that if you receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, we invite you to come. You can pray with one of our prayer team members, and they would be more than happy to lead you in a prayer, to lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Lord, thank you. We say thank you. You are good, and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you, and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for the antidote of thanksgiving and praise. that keeps bitterness and resentment from settling into our hearts. And we may need to give more than one thing. We may need to take it more than once a day. We may need to take it for several weeks. But nevertheless, Lord, thank you for shielding our lives with thanksgiving from the power of bitterness and resentment. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us this weapon to overcome the wiles of the enemy. Strengthen us to love you more. Strengthen us, Lord God, to recognize that it all belongs to you, and to understand and know that you are good. We believe it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in need of prayer, we invite you to come. Please hug a few people before you go, and we will see you next time. Have a great week.